This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana on a glorious Friday in Louisiana. And with us are two gentlemen who follow the worlds of journalism and politics quite closely, the Dean of the Manship School, Martin Johnson, and Michael Henderson, who's director of the LSU Public Policy Research Lab. They have combined with Charlie Cook, who's been on this show a few times, who is one of the preeminent followers of American politics. His forecast for elections is regarded as the bellwether for all the others, and the Manship School has done a comprehensive poll regarding the midterm elections, now 11 days away. Good morning, Martin Johnson.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Well, were there any surprises in the survey?
Well, it's a really novel survey in the sense that because we're partnering with Charlie Cook and the Cook Political Report, we're able to take their characterization of political competition around the country into account in the survey. And so Mike, in working with developing the survey sample, we oversampled those really competitive districts, the 72 districts that will really swing the House in the upcoming midterm elections. And so the survey allows us to focus on both those really competitive elections as well as the country as a whole. And so the results are novel in the sense that this isn't just a national survey. It's a survey that allows us to really drill into those districts. And we find some interesting things.
And Michael Henderson, how do you pull this off? How do you do a national survey with how many respondents?
Yes, so this is just under 1,500 respondents. It's 1,486. This survey was done just a little bit of, on how we did it. We partnered with a national survey firm, Ipsos Public Affairs, to use their what they call their brand as their knowledge panel. So this was an online survey, but this is not just sort of some opt-in click here if you're on a website. They go and they draw a probability sample of Americans based on what's called address-based sampling, a list of all residences in the United States. They go to these households and they ask them to sign up and take their surveys. If those households don't have internet access, they provide it to them. And then they take a series of surveys periodically over the course of a few years. And so our surveys were one of those. And because we know where they live, we knew which congressional district they were in advance of fielding the survey. So we were able to, like Mike Martin said, oversample particularly competitive districts.
But when you have 1,486 respondents and there are 435 districts, oversampling would be more than three, right?
Right, right. So we do what's called stratified sampling. So we basically said we're gonna shoot for a target sample of about 1,500 nationally, but we're going to cut that in half so that about half of our respondents are coming from competitive districts, and then we'll just sample the rest of the country for the rest. And, you know, we do some statistical weighting, which is standard procedures to get back mm-hmm. to the national numbers to make sure it's representative. And then within competitive classifications, we have representativeness there as well, so we can actually talk about competitive districts. Because you're absolutely right. If we just did a random sample of Americans, we'd end up with, I don't know, 100 people in these competitive districts, and we needed a lot more than that to be able to see what's going on there.
Instead, it's more like 750.
It's about 750 in non sort of completely solid districts, mm-hmm. and it's about 500 in these very close, the districts that are classified as toss-up or leaning.
All right. 877-217-5757 if you'd like to join the conversation with Martin Johnson and Michael Henderson. And President Trump's job approval number today from Real Clear Politics, which is a conflation of all the polls, is at 44.7%. That's actually up a bit. It's low, and for most presidents, this would mean trouble for his party running in the midterm elections. How much is the reaction to this election based on the president?
Well, I think what we're seeing is that quite a lot of reaction, particularly in these competitive districts, is related to the president. And there are a lot of people out there that are motivated to show support for the president. There are more people in these competitive races who want to go out and show opposition to the president and want to elect Democrats to Congress in order to provide a check on the president.
And something could happen in the next week and a half.
That's exactly
right. To change
right.
everything.
Yeah, and we see every day something new does happen. So, and I think a really critical point of all of this is that at the end of the day, the most important thing in any election and these midterms in particular is turnout. Who's going to actually show up and vote?
Now, I remember two Democratic presidents, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, who got two terms and are now regarded by most historians as good presidents. They just got clobbered in their first midterm election. I mean, just got whipped in a dramatic fashion in 1994 and in 2010. Why will Donald Trump do differently than them, or will he?
I'm not sure that he will do that much different than them. I mean, there's some things that are different factors. 1994 happened at a time when there was a sort of a realignment, particularly in the South. So there was, there were emerging Republicans here. So we won't necessarily see something like that in reverse. But the weight that President Trump brings to this midterm decision is pretty heavy. And as it was in 2010 for Barack Obama and 1994 for Bill Clinton. So I think we'll see a trend like that, maybe not as severe or as large. One other interesting thing we did with this poll is we could go back and look at a similar poll that was done in 2010 with the same approach to administering the survey and compare some questions. And we're seeing that people are thinking about this election in much the same way that they thought about 2010, except, the parties are swapped.
And the math in the Senate is not really conducive for a Democratic victory because most of the Democrats are up for re-election and most of the Republicans are not. That's just the way it works. At least more of the Democrats are up for re-election. And that makes it difficult for the Democrats to regain control when they're already in the minority and some of their incumbents are in trouble.
Yeah, that's right. So what we're talking about here really focuses on the House races. As our friend Charlie Cook said when he was speaking to us yesterday, he said, he's looking at this. What makes this – one of the things that makes this midterm election different from others in the past, he says it's like looking at elections in two different countries when you're looking at the Senate election versus the House election. Because the House election is coming down to these mostly suburban districts where the Democrats have an advantage, but the Senate election is really coming down to sort of red state America.
Andy in Goodwood. Hi, Andy. You're on the air with Martin Johnson and Michael Henderson.
Good morning, guys. Enjoy this show this morning. Have you figured out how to poll gullibility or common sense?
That's a great question. gullibility and common sense, I don't think we're on this particular survey. But it's definitely a great question.
All right. Well, voters vote for any number of reasons. What's the primary reason why somebody, and mind you, a majority of the citizens will not vote in this election? We will not have more than 50% of the electorate going to the polls in what is regarded as an important election. What compels people to vote?
We have decades of research on this, and it comes down to a lot of factors. Some things are related to the individuals themselves. Some people just have a higher propensity of voting, of more interest and more engagement. But it also comes down to factors of the context, and so the specific election and the issues that can drive people and their concerns to translate them into votes. And it also comes down to what campaigns do. Mm-hmm. They have to reach out to people, encourage them to vote. So the people who tend to vote are the people who tend to already have a lot of interest in politics. People who can be shown that there's a connection between politics and their lives, and frankly, people who are asked to vote that are reached out to. And so I think a lot of the campaigning in the next, I guess it's 11 days or so, will be focused on those efforts.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on the air with Michael Henderson and Martin Johnson from LSU.
Good morning, Jim. A couple of things. Are you finding out that there are more people now following politics? I know that MSNBC, CNN, and Fox have their viewership has gone up. And about issues, are people talking about public health as issues? And how can you find out the net worth of these people now?
All right, the net worth. Phil, you're covering a lot of ground there. But it takes a lot of money to run a campaign, and it does help if candidates have their own personal wealth. But independent of that, as far as the uh, the trend right now? If people are watching these cable news programs, does that necessarily mean the turnout's going to be higher?
Well, I think all evidence suggests that turnout is going to be pretty high for a midterm election. I mean, I think your point is well taken that it may not break 50%, but this is going to be a big election in terms of turnout for a midterm election. Our survey shows that there is a lot of interest in the election, and furthermore, that candidates are contacting these voters, that voters are being exposed to information about the election on television and media, and are getting contacted by politicians. So I think there is heightened interest in politics right now.
Well, the poll shows Democrats lead Republicans 48-36% among registered voters in the 72 most competitive districts. What does that mean, if anything?
Well, I mean, so what's important to remember is the margin of error on that estimate is significant as well. I mean, it's fairly big. So I think it's 9 points. So that, to me, says Democrats have an advantage there. But that's about all that it says. So I don't focus a whole lot on the number 12 itself. It's just to say that we can say that Democrats have a lead there. And we think that's just more evidence to sort of the national trend that this is a tough year in the House races for the Republican Party.
In Louisiana, it appears that the incumbents are in relatively good shape.
Yeah, the Louisiana races, none of the Louisiana races are rated as particularly competitive by the Cook Political Report. But we do have some interesting things going on. Of course, we've got a Secretary of State race, and on Monday evening, we'll host at the Manship School a forum for Secretary of State candidates as part of the Behind the Ballot symposium the President's office has put together.
And that's a two-day affair. I'll be involved.
Of course. I think we're on a panel together.
Yes.
Looking forward to it.
I look forward to seeing Dr. Johnson again next week. But if you'd like to get in, we have a few more minutes with Martin Johnson and Michael Henderson. Ken Perrette is also with us. He is president of Louisiana Good Roads and Transportation. 877-217-5757 is your number. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and a few more minutes with Martin Johnson, the dean of the Manship School, and Michael Henderson, who does fine work with the LSU Public Policy Research Lab, and he has taken his talents and joined them with Charlie Cook, who is a legend when it comes to national politics. You can ask Charlie about the one House race in North Dakota, and he'll go on and on and on about it. And we do have a midterm election in 11 days, and a reminder that 4:30 on Tuesday, Martin Johnson will be on a panel with some other luminaries, and I will be the moderator at an event it's at the business school.
That's right.
And we had a listener ask about Brian Kilmeade's appearance. It's at 12:30 tomorrow at the Jefferson Baptist Church. He will be in town, and you can talk to him about Andrew Jackson and the midterms. And as we know, Brian is a Fox News contributor, so he probably will speak from a very conservative slant. But we've got this midterm election in 11 days, and a listener asks, is the Kavanaugh hearing and confirmation still relevant, or has that gone away?
I think that, number one, that wasn't on the survey, so we don't necessarily know the implications of the Kavanaugh votes that conversation. But our good friend David Wasserman with the Cook Political Report, we were talking about this yesterday, definitely sees a hand of that matter at work. In particular, he sees as he talks with people, particularly motivated vote among women in this election. And again, like I said, that wasn't on our survey, but I think that could play a factor.
And as we look ahead to 2020, which isn't that far away, Michael, your survey indicates most Americans want new leadership.
That's correct. So we asked people, you know, just whether or not they President Trump deserved to be reelected or not, looking ahead to 2020. And, you know, it's a little over 60% that say no, that they don't want him to be reelected. Of course, there's a big partisan difference there as well. What's interesting, though, is we asked Republicans specifically if they wanted the president to face a serious primary challenge in 2020. And that split 60-40 among Republicans. No, they don't. But if you look at these highly competitive House districts, it broke even. So Republicans in these House districts are less of a fan of the president than Republicans as a whole.
Well, we look forward to visiting with both of you again soon. It's always a pleasure. Martin Johnson and Michael Henderson doing exceptional work for LSU and the Manship School, and the politics and journalism collaboration there has been recognized nationally as perhaps the best in the nation, and these two gentlemen are a big part of that.
Thanks so much.
Appreciate
you.